Yes and no. They're two words you're taught at a pretty early age, but sometimes the older you get, the harder it can feel to say no. But you look at people around you, they seem to be able to say it without the fear that you have. So what's going on? Is being a people pleaser a good or a bad thing? Relationship coach Tara Whitewood is here to talk about that. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
What does it mean to be a people pleaser?
So a people pleaser is someone who will make decisions or engage with people or socialize or, you know, run their life on someone else's agenda. But underneath all of that, it is a belief, I think, that that your relationship is reliant on making other people happy. So you don't get to make yourself happy or you lose connection with the other people around you.
Do you think on a whole we see it as a good thing or a bad thing to want to please people?
I think that there's this real vibe around the place that people pleasing is a bad thing, that it's inherently a bad thing. And I would completely disagree. I often have clients or friends or people in my life who say, oh, you know, I did that. You know, I brought someone a present because I'm a people pleaser, or I made my partner breakfast because I'm a people pleaser. And I just don't think that the way that they use the terminology is quite kind of on the money. You know, it depends on whether you're resourcefully people pleasing or not, because there are all these really beautiful qualities of someone who does consider how their actions impact on the people around them, their capacity to take the perspectives of other people. They're really highly attuned to other people's emotions, so they're really good at minimizing social friction and helping other people to feel like they belong, like they're connected, they're great listeners, good at anticipating needs. So there are all these really great qualities that come with someone who can be labeled a people pleaser. It really just depends how they take action and what actions they don't take to keep themselves healthy and well.
Yeah, because there can be some negative flow-ons. What can they be?
Yeah, it becomes a problem, I think, when you are only pleasing others and not taking care of yourself. So you become a bit of a martyr, and that ends up in feeling like responsible for other people's feelings, violating your own boundaries or, you know, accepting toxic or abusive relationships. It can be just simply not getting what you want or even knowing what you want in your life because you are so concerned, overly concerned about what other people want. Mm. So I guess like many of the conversations we have, people pleasing is a spectrum, you know, and there are people who are at one end and they're just completely oriented towards other people. And then there are people who have those skills, who have those tendencies, but have learned to develop the muscle around saying yes and no.
Where does where we fall on this spectrum come from? Like, who's to blame? That's always, who's to blame? Why am I like this?
totally. So that you can call them and hold them to account, right? it primarily comes from the way that we were raised. So children who grow up in a household, and I'm not saying in an abusive scenario, it can be that, but it can just be that you had one parent who is highly emotional and somewhat unpredictable. So you don't always know how that parent's going to respond to you. Sometimes they're really warm, sometimes they're a little bit colder, and children in that environment learn to moderate themselves so that they keep that person more stable. So they take on the responsibility of the stability of their parents or their carers' emotions somewhat. Mm. So they sort of learn to be really highly attuned to the environment, because when they are good or when they're being nice or when they're not rocking the boat, then they get the love and connection that they want. But we're also really heavily socialized to that from when we're very little, you know, telling children to be nice and to be good, telling them to hug the stranger that they don't really know, but maybe a relative, but they see them, you know, once a decade. teaching children to override their desires and their, you know, their needs to keep everyone else happy. So, and it continues throughout our life, Kaya, that we're socialized to that, keeping everyone comfortable socially is more important than taking care of yourself.
All right. So as you were saying, there is some really positive things that can flow from this. What can it mean to be thinking about the people around us and to be connected to the feelings of others and to want to do nice things for people?
I think that being able, your capacity to adopt someone else's perspective and be a little bit predictive, you know, anticipate what they might like or need, is the foundation of a really good relationship. Your capacity for empathy is the foundation of connection and intimacy. So, you know, at the other end of that extreme is someone who doesn't care about pleasing other people at all, and other people's feelings and desires aren't even a consideration for them. So you think about those people and the kinds of relationships that they develop, they're much colder and more transactional. So it's a really beautiful quality for someone to be so attuned to others in their environment. It just means that they need to have some strategies and tools to help them to kind of manage the way that they feel, because sometimes you can take on other people's emotions as your own, yeah? So being able to kind of let that go a little bit and understand then that saying yes and saying no shouldn't be the criteria for whether or not your relationship is okay. Mm. You should be able to take care of yourself and still be in relationship with someone. But the result of growing up in a sort of a hot cold environment is that we're often drawn to hot cold relationships. Mm. So that can be tricky.
What are some of the red flags where we may be causing some problems for ourselves?
Yeah, so some red flags are you feel quite anxious in a situation where you disagree with someone. It doesn't even have to be conflict. It could just be a difference of opinion. You feel anxious about the relationship rather than that conversation or the topic. It could be that you over-apologize. You apologize for things that really are nothing to do with your actions. You say yes when you don't want to say yes, and you say no when you don't want to say no. I mean, that's the biggest one, isn't it? And maybe you don't even really know what it is that you like or want or don't like or don't want. So I think a lot of people see, you know, at the far end of the scale of people pleasing, they think that it's really a nice way to be in the world, that everyone comes to them for help, everyone wants their shoulder, and it is somewhat. But if you're feeling burned out, if you're feeling used, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling overwhelmed by other people's needs, then that's a pretty big red flag that maybe you need to put some boundaries in place.
So how do we start practicing that? How do we build that muscle to be able to say no if we're a people pleaser, or to be able to just look after ourselves a little bit in that process?
Yeah, it's like a muscle. So if you go to the people-pleasing gym and... start small. So I would say, you know, if you have two columns, write a list, have two columns and write down the things that you find it hard to say yes or no to, and then the people that you find it hard to say yes or no to. But put some people that you find it easy to say yes or no to in there as well. So for example, you might find it easy to say no thank you to a cup of tea when you're at a friend's house, but you might find it more harder to say no thank you to a cup of tea when you're, I don't know, at a job interview. Mm. So practice first the action somewhere where it feels easy, and then take it somewhere else. You can start really small. It doesn't need to be, you know, saying no to your grandfather's 80th birthday because you don't like your uncle. I mean, I just made that up, but because that is not my life. You don't need to start with the big things. Start small and work your way up. So start with people who you feel really comfortable with and say to them, hey, I just want to practice saying yes or no. Next time you invite me somewhere, I'm gonna say no. And if it feels safer to set that up in advance, then do that. And then just notice when you say no what the feelings are and have a conversation with that safe person about how that felt. Because they are the ones, the healthy relationships in your life are where you're going to be able to kind of shift that pattern and understand that pattern better, because they will hold you safe. Mm.
Always really great to chat. There is a lot that we can all practice in this space, Tara. Thank you for talking us through it this morning.
My pleasure. Get in the people-pleasing gym.
All right. I'll buy a membership. Relationship coach with the Sugar Doctor, Tara Whitewood, there taking you through people-pleasing, the ability to say yes and sometimes say no.